Welcome to Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk, and you can find out more about writings and other activities at allbook-books.com, which gets you to my Substack page for the most recent postings. So I watched the wonderful film online, The Eternal Song, Ancestral Wisdom for Collective Healing, with indigenous peoples, nations from around the Mother Earth. And they have a week long of online panels. Some of them I've been watching, taking notes, very interesting, from the Maasai in Africa, Nigeria, Maori in New Zealand, many native nations across Turtle Island, Norse, Greenland, Spain. It's really a world global event, and lots of interesting stuff. And hearing the stories, the different people talking about their creation stories and their histories and herstories and whatever, gave me the idea for the title of this episode, Many Times Upon a Timeless, because there are many stories and many different peoples. And though there are some many similarities, each one is different. And so that got me to contrasting much of the Western storyline and how I learned to tell a story from school, which I don't know that I ever really followed that much, but to some degree, and especially with essays, you know, having a beginning, a middle, and an end, but perhaps part of my rebellion against all the rules in that sense is, I'd like to think of it as a reaching for a kind of indigeneity consciousness. Because the beginning, middle, and end, that has other ramifications. In most of the, in the main religions, there is a beginning, an official date. In the beginning. And it starts. And then oftentimes there's a projected end, like the return of Jesus, or Elijah coming back, or I'm not sure what the Islamic one is. In Buddhist lore, not specifically religious, because it's part of my spiritual path, there's the Buddha of the future, the Maitreya Buddha, which is not really the future, but is available here and now, and has been for a while. But these beginning, middle, and ends tend to put us in a time zone, which I think, again, going to that once upon a time, as if once something started, and then everything is following that line to the beginning, middle, and end. Whereas once upon a time, but yet that definitely becomes a very anthropocentric way to look at things, because considering the trees and the rocks and the oceans and the rivers and on, each one has its once. So where are those stories? And that's a lot of what the Eternal Song is about, and what the panels are about. You can probably still access them. Monday's the last day, but I think if you pay, you can access everything, the videos, the recordings, and 12 other films of specific Native peoples. So there's a lot going on. You can sign up for free. It's at theeternalsong.org, with theeternalsong.org. So there's lots to it. The other aspect of the beginning, middle, and end is the educational system, because that, as I think about the writing process, that is how people are programmed to write an essay and a story. Is you have to start off with a beginning, you have to have a clear point, and then you explain your point, and then you conclude to show that you proved your point or whatever. As well as the educational system has a, you know, kindergarten to you get your degree is kind of like the end point, and then you get your job. So it's all very mapped out and very beginning, middle, and sort of end, but ongoing. But anyway, that got me to contrasting again the many times upon a timeless, and also to say, as is mentioned in the about the film, is that it's very not, and Native nations, which I've known for a while, they're non-linear. They look at things from different angles, and all, you know, different ramifications that are going on. Not look at things from different angles, but experience things. You know, to my understanding, the way I interpret that is just different surprises during the day happen. Thinking of somebody, hear from somebody from the past, plan to meet somebody for the future. I had a dream, or I had an insight or an intuition, and I changed my direction. All kinds of possible things going on as a reflection of the multi-dimensional experience that we all have, but we tend to get dumbed down and narrow-minded by thinking it's all very linear. So here's a quote from a master storyteller, Martin Shaw, which kind of explains very succinctly what I'm trying to explain. He mentions, one of the things we can do is to reach out to stories, to practices, such as working on the land or a good art form that requires skills, diligence, a willingness to be bored, and to lose our addiction to constant excitement. Myth and story put you into the presence of the old ones who have told the story before you. That was mentioned, I think Pat McCabe mentioned that in the panels, or maybe in the film, how maybe it's not about telling a new story, but telling the old story in a new way, or telling the old story that to see how it's relevant now. So the old stories are not really old; they're still in the now. They're still living and applicable to the now. Then Shaw goes on, when I've been with the Lakota Sioux or other native groups, I've seen that rather than telling stories from beginning to end like a Western narrative with a wedding at some point, they can enter the story wherever they want, like walking into a stream. And at that moment, an image or scene in the story gets told, and that is the story. It's just that glimpse that gets into the lion's blood of your imagination. So I would say, don't worry about the whole of the story. Look for the moment that speaks directly to you. Because like an acupuncture point, that is your entry point into the great stream of the story. You don't need to dam the thing off at the beginning and the end. It's more promiscuous than that. There are buddings everywhere. That's from an interview, an article, Uncolonizing the Imagination. So there's a lot I like in there about, you know, not damning. It is. It's to define it, it just closes off. It closes off the story rather than opening it up. It's an opening into rather than a closing into. And I also like his mention of storytelling, a willingness to be bored. And to lose our addiction to constant excitement. That I can vouch for that over the years of writing, when I've had to just think about, slow down, stare out the window, go for a walk, look over, mull stuff, to then see where the story is going, or the writing, whatever the piece. So there's like, it's very yin-yang in a way that sometimes there's a rush and a high, and it just all flows and just can bang it out pretty quick, but other times it's not. And usually that banging it out phase comes after a quiet phase, sort of like a brooding or an incubation. Another thing that came to mind about storytelling, since that's sort of this theme of this this little episode of when I went to see a Shinnecock woman, Shanae. Well, look, she gave a talk about water, and you know, it was a talk about water on Long Island, and so my left brain, even though I know a bit about Native approach, my left brain was kind of like, okay, she's gonna tell us what we can do to the different bodies of water around Long Island, what we can learn, and this and that. And instead, she started talking about the creation story of Turtle Island and how that connects to the waters. So it took a while even to get to talking about current things, because my interpretation, you know, when for Natives, when they, like, just to go to the water isn't just to go to the water now, it's connected with the ancient past that is the creation story, since we come from water and other stuff. But and so it ties in the whole spectrum of past, present, and future. So this gives a much wider approach to just listening and appreciating stories, to writing them, to expanding what stories you're interested in, or what movies you're interested in, or what plays you're interested in. Things that are avant-garde, or Waiting for Godot, absurd theater of the absurd, and avant-garde, where just stuff doesn't happen much. That's like in Waiting for Godot, nothing really happens. They just talk about doing stuff. They don't really do anything, but that's part of the process. Anyway, there's all different ramifications. And the past, present, future thing also, I'll add, when talking about the film with Tiokasen, Ghost Horse, who's a Lakota, he mentioned that for them, even the word ancestor, it would translate to like the earth beings from the ancient future now. The earth beings from the ancient future now. That's just a wonderful, wonderful summary of past, present, and future. Again, once upon a time is a linear progression, or could be, even though now that I think about it, once upon a time could be that each time it starts anew, once upon a time. But for the sake of the argument here that I make, loose argument that I'm making in favor of many times upon a timeless, is that the past, present, and future is a whole nother, all happening now is a whole nother consciousness and experience. One more ramification along with the religions and educations, I think of the just the word progress, the way we see the world, and the way we see a lot of what the government promotes, and a lot of what the technology is promoting, is it's always about progress, as if where we started was not good enough, and that where we're getting to is going to be better. And that again is some of that religious kind of programming, I think, is to interpret this wider. That we didn't, things didn't start out so good, and now we're working on it, and we're progressing, and it's going to be better. But what if it started? What if it started out so good? I've heard Chief Arvo Looking Horse say that we, in the sacred hoop of life, there is no beginning and there is no end. So there you get into like the infinity symbol or the spiral, where we keep cruising around in different ways and different forms. So a lot of cosmic stuff there, but also I think a very practical for just pondering day to day on a personal level, but also in the sense of story, to open up to the multi layers of the potentials for stories and stories that already exist, and to see where that takes you down the little pathway of stories, or up the little pathway of stories. Either way, thanks for listening. Be well.